Please listen as I read Psalm 84. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I want you to notice, first of all, the title to this psalm and the author that is attributed this to, a psalm of the sons of Korah. It was either written or dedicated to the sons of Korah. This is a striking notation because Korah is noted in the Bible as a man of rebellion. In Leviticus and Numbers, there is a description of rebellion against Moses and Aaron by Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the Lord judged these who rebelled against him by causing the earth to open up and swallow them. Korah became known as one who rebelled, and in fact something of a byword for rebellion. But it notes in Numbers that the children of Korah did not die. And now we find them here in the book of Psalms and elsewhere being described as being doorkeepers in the house of God. You'll note that in verse 11 of this psalm, where it says that it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live implied at ease in the tents of wickedness. This is a striking demonstration of God's mercy right here in the Psalms, that the children of Korah come to find mercy in the God of Israel and come to find service in his kingdom. They speak in this psalm, and we speak as well, of the blessings of being in God's presence. It's a psalm about worship. It's a psalm not just about private worship, but of the corporate worship of God, of coming together with God's people and being blessed by knowing that God is among us. This is in contrary, I would say, to something of a movement today that emphasizes the private aspects of worship, of private devotions, which are good and have their necessary place. But that suggested that the best place for worshiping is privately in your closet. And while there's a goodness and a blessing that is there, the Bible is agreed from cover to cover, which describes the goodness of the public worship of God. There is a body that Jesus has redeemed, a people that are brought together, not just a collage of individuals, but a unit that are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And the psalmist longs for this public worship. It appears that he has been withheld for some reason, And he is so eager for this in verses 1 and 2 that it says that he faints. The longing that he has is so intense that there's a physical nature to that. And it leads to the question, well, why would there be such longing? The answer is that it is here. It is in the corporate worship of the people of God that we meet with the living God. This is not an empty ritual or an empty time of just meeting together. Instead, we genuinely meet with the living God. In fact, the psalm comes to something of a climax in verse 7, where it says that we advance from strength to strength, each one appearing before God in Zion. We meet with the living God, and that's what worship is about. You can understand then why there is such longing and such joy at coming to worship. There's an encouraging nature to this as well. The sons of Korah were indeed doorkeepers and had responsibility in the house of God, but they weren't the notable individuals, the priests and the Levites that had responsibilities of actually serving the sacrifices and serving the ordinances of God in the Old Testament. Instead, they were merely doorkeepers, a position of service and a fairly lowly position of service. But you might note in verses 3 and 4 that the sons of Korah notice that even the sparrows have found a place of refuge in the house of God. And they notice that they make their nests in the protected areas in the tabernacle or temple. And it's as if they are saying that if even the sparrow finds a place of rest, then so too does a doorkeeper. So too do the most lowly servants find a place with God in his worship. What an encouragement that is to us, that no matter our station in life, no matter our calling in the kingdom of heaven, that we find a place to meet with God in worship. And this psalm says, thank you to God for meeting with us. Thank you to God for being among us. And it looks at worship in this way. It also finds encouragement in knowing that this joy comes even though there may be times of dryness or tears. Stanzas 5 through 7 describe traveling to Jerusalem through a valley of Baca, probably a valley that was marshy, and it's a word that's also translated tears, and in the Psalter version of this, it's translated tears. It's the idea of a heart set on pilgrimage here, wandering on their way towards Zion, wandering and finding that there are times of spiritual dryness or even times of trials and tears. But surely that pilgrimage does find its goal as we come at last to meet before the face of God in stanza 7. What encouragement and joy there is that the path to joy, though it may be dry, surely God leads us through it and brings us to himself. The reason this happens is revealed especially in verses 8 through 9. It's because God looks on our shield. And that shield is personified as an anointed one. Verse 9 says, O God, look on our shield, or behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. And in a very pointed way, then, in stanza 11, or in verse 11, the Lord God himself is described as our shield and sun, equating the anointed one with God himself. Now, you may not know it, but the word for anointed one that the Greek translation uses of this psalm is the word Christos, or Christ. That's what Christ means. It means anointed one, or Messiah, as it is sometimes translated. And the joy that we have in worship is because God looks at us in Jesus Christ. God looks at His anointed one. He looks at Christ, our shield, and receives us as worthy in His sight. Stanzas 10 through 12 then reflect that God is among us, and we find this to be better than anything. Better than to live at ease with all the pleasures of this life in the tents of wickedness. Instead, it's better to be a lowly doorkeeper in the house of God, finding refuge in Christ. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. Our blessing is truly in Jesus Christ, and we find joy in the corporate worship because it's here that we meet with God. And it's here that we reflect that God is among us because Christ, our Redeemer, lives and mediates for us as our shield and our anointed one. As we sing through this, we'll sing it in two different sections. We'll start with Psalm 84, the C selection. The tune is a little new to us, and you might recognize it as a tune from a Christmas carol. It fits very well with this idea of coming into the courts of the Lord with joy, knowing that we have a place and that God is among us. We'll sing Psalm 84, selection C, and I invite you to please stand to praise God.